Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Congress continues to fail to do their job. This compromise bill on immigration, they continually participate in sleight-of-hand tactics in order to expand the number of illegal aliens in this country and at the same time creating new protections for illegals. Further ramifications are evident, and guess what? None of them are positive. One might ask, why do we continue to ignore the experts? Joining us on the line is David Ray, Communications Director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be with you, Newell. How you doing today?
Doing well. This bill, this compromise bill, in order to avoid the shutdown, nobody wants the shutdown, and I would have been adamantly opposed to that. But it seems as though we didn't really strike the best bargain from my perspective.
Oh, honestly, this is the worst case scenario for life in the swamp. You know, when you have a must-pass budget deal with a fixed time where the government's going to go out again, and you put a group of politicians in secret meetings for 2 weeks, they release a, 1,400-page document just hours before they're going to vote on it. I mean, we just knew there were going to be all sorts of heartburn-causing elements to this bill, but some of these have really been shockers. I mean, thank goodness the president declared a national emergency, because the bill he signed just created one. Probably the most egregious aspect of this is that we have a legitimate fear that the signing of this bill will just create a historic rush of unaccompanied minors to the border, because the bill makes their mere presence kind of a safety zone for anyone who could, quote, be a sponsor, potential sponsor, or member of a household of a sponsor or potential sponsor of an unaccompanied alien child. So
that's section 224 of this bill, right?
Right.
And so for the listening audience, does it work this way? I'm in the country illegally, and there's an unaccompanied child, and I am going to act as a sponsor. And by doing so, that child's crossed the border, is on U.S. soil. I come in, I'm a sponsor. And what I understand is 224 basically says that ICE, hands off, can't talk to that person, can't investigate that person, can't deport that person.
Not only that person, but anybody in that household.
In that household.
Yeah.
So what we've done is we've created a market. We've created now a new black market for unaccompanied kids, because the easiest way to get your ticket to ride in this country is to get a hold of an unaccompanied child.
Right. So if you're theoretically a group of illegal aliens living in New Orleans, and you're all adults, and you are looking over your shoulder all the time in fear that you're going to be deported, the safest, if you want to create your own safe zone, send for one of your nieces or nephews in Central America, and as soon as they arrive on your doorstep, then you have basically been inoculated against immigration enforcement, because their mere presence in the house has created an ICE no-go zone, and will keep everyone in there from make them immune to immigration enforcement. I mean, we really fear that this is going – I mean, the cartels are very sophisticated. The alien smugglers are already very sophisticated. You can see that by the numbers that are coming in right now. And they are going to see this as a cash cow. And unfortunately, the product being marketed is children.
Right.
And that's the worst of it. You know, that's really kind of what is unique about immigration in this last decade, illegal immigration, that is that it, we used to be dealing with adult males coming here for work. Now, oftentimes, it's women and children, and it's because it's all focused on taking advantage of our asylum laws, and if you have a child with you, you can't even be detained for more than 20 days. But now that child serves as your guarantee of an ICE-free zone once you are let go and into the hinterlands of the U.S.
So, you know, it just, for the life of me, I just can't understand why they keep going down this path and thinking that this is going to lead to a positive outcome. And also, you know, this particular bill, we don't get the 750 additional Border Patrol agents from my reading of it. And we don't get 2,000 more immigrations and customs enforcement officers either.
Right. And I mean, the trickle of money that we're getting, the pittance of money, $1.375 billion, is minuscule. I mean, it was a huge concession for President Trump to ask for $5.7 billion. Remember, you know, when we started this process, the Democrats were willing to give $1.8 billion. So we went down from there. Plus, there's all sorts of strings attached to where the any structures on the border can be built. The border wall can be vetoed by border town mayors, four of whom are known liberals. If the government was looking at possibly border crossing user fees as a way of something FAIR's called for since the late 1980s, as a way of raising money to put into border enforcement. It prohibits those from being used. Obviously, there's the illegal alien stash house now with the unaccompanied minors. There's just all sorts of gimmicks in this bill that seem to really undermine immigration enforcement. We urged the president yesterday to veto this. I guess he is possibly a little myopic about keeping his eye on the border wall, and it was to the point where he was going to sign anything or had given up hope of getting anything out of Congress. I just can't imagine that the administration read over this entire bill and then agreed with it, but what has happened.
I'm not sure that many people have read the entire bill. We got to get to a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva and the lengths that he's going to. And this is going to give, I think, all of our listening audience a little glimpse of everyone's trying to accomplish here and where this is going when we return with David Ray, Communications Director for FAIR. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back, and we have David Ray, Director of Communications for the Federation for American Immigration Reform. David, I read an article the other day about the L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva.
Right.
He was elected last year, and he's was very critical of his predecessor of working with immigration and basically saying cooperation out of the county jails had become a pipeline for deportation. So this is what he decides to do. He unveils a comprehensive plan that will make a deliberate shift on immigration policy. And what he's done is that there's a list of misdemeanors, state misdemeanors, that are used as precursor deportable events for illegal aliens. He is going to trim that list. He's going to eliminate the list so that they have less precursor crimes that they can deport on. And then on February the 1st of this year, he banned ICE agents from going into any sheriff's department facility.
Right.
Whether they were going there to pick up somebody or not, they can't even go to the facility to go to the bathroom.
Right. Can't step foot inside the
Cannot
facility.
Cannot step foot inside of a facility.
Right.
And he's talking about trying to overcome the deficit of trust in his community. We're losing our minds.
Yeah, that's nonsense. It's throwing public safety out the window and sacrificing it for political gain. He's doing this because he feels like he's appeasing his base, the immigrant groups that put him into office. But, I mean, let's be honest here. Think about this scenario. FAIR released a study a week ago and found that in California, illegal aliens are three and a half times as likely as legal residents to end up in jail. Three and a half times as likely, which means the reason we know that is because the jails submit for reimbursement to the federal government for the cost of jailing these illegal immigrants. But now they're doing, on top of that, now they're doing everything that they can to keep us from getting these illegal immigrants once they're being released from jail and getting them out of the country.
Yeah, they want the federal money.
They want the federal money, but then they're going to, the illegal aliens, many of them are going to go back. They're going to end up back on the streets, and they're going to recommit crimes. They're going to end up back in jail, and Dave and Newell get to pay for that stay as well. And so, you know, on the one hand, they'll take the money from the federal government, but they don't want to cooperate. What they're doing is making it as difficult as humanly possible to be an ICE officer. And, you know, I thought when after 9/11 happened and we found out that state and local police had come in contact with several of the 9/11 perpetrators, and had they checked their immigration status, that this entire plot might have been, you know, foiled. You know, the left hand needs to know what the right hand is doing, and federal law enforcement and state and local law enforcement should be working together to create a web of protection for the American people. And in LA County, that just isn't going to happen.
Yeah, I've never, you know, 40 years in law enforcement, and I've worked with previous LA County sheriffs and have had a lot of respect for those guys out there. And having been born out there, I kind of follow what goes on politically out there.
Right.
I've never heard of a county sheriff talk about trying to balance the needs of an illegal community with the community at large.
Well, it's based on a false narrative, Newell, and here's the narrative. If we publicly say we're not going, we being the police department, if we publicly say we're not cooperating with ICE, that's going to create a sense of trust in the immigrant community, and then the immigrant community will be more likely to report crimes and so on, and therefore less likely to be criminalized by other illegal immigrants or by anyone else. That's a bunch of nonsense. It might sound like it makes sense. It has never, ever had any empirical evidence. And in fact, there are already many avenues open whereby illegal aliens can report crimes and not be deported for it. I mean, you can call the police department and leave an anonymous tip, but there are visas available, the U visa, the T visa, that are explicitly for illegal aliens who report crimes and help the police arrest and remove from the streets dangerous people. You end up with a visa to remain as a legal resident in the United States. So there's all sorts of reasons out there to cooperate with the police that don't involve dangerous sanctuary policies that put criminal aliens back on the streets altogether.
And then the real alarming thing is that this a group of immigrant rights advocates said that all of the stuff that Sheriff Villanueva's done in order to handcuff ICE from deporting anybody who's a criminal alien, because we're talking about people that have been arrested.
Right.
They say these actions alone won't satisfy their expectations.
I mean, you know, California is already a sanctuary state. I don't know what else they could possibly do except, you know, ban federal immigration enforcement altogether if they could. Of course they can't, because the federal government can enter California whenever it wants to. But you know, how do you satisfy people like this? What else could you possibly offer them?
Well, I want to know, as a citizen, you know, we don't do that for our own. I mean, we're not making all of these accommodations and trying to find all of these exceptions and asterisks and everything else to criminal behavior of citizens. But now we've created a protected class in this country,
right?
That citizens of this country themselves don't enjoy that same status.
Well, exactly. You know, we just so that your listeners understand, these are not, illegal immigrants who are simply being handed over because they're here illegally, and that that's a misdemeanor, a federal crime. These are illegal immigrants who are here illegally who have then gone on to commit state crimes. So these are not immigration crimes. These are not federal smuggling crimes. These are manslaughter, hit and run, you know, domestic abuse, child molestation, what have you.
DWI, of course, Bob, yeah, you know, Senator Menendez thinks that, that's a travesty.
So, you know, I mean, and these are the people that we're protecting now in the state of California. You wonder why, what was there, a poll released yesterday that 53% of the residents of California say they want to leave. I don't think I really blame them.
Yeah. And meanwhile, there's another study that comes out that a lot of the school systems and or school districts, excuse me, within California are made up, some as high as 40% of illegal aliens.
Right. I mean, you know.
And so we're getting federal dollars for the education there as well. And everybody says this is a good deal for us. And this is a kind of math that I haven't been able to get my hands around or my brain around.
Well, I mean, just if you do the back of the envelope equation and you think, let's say you and your wife illegally enter California, on average, illegal aliens have 2 to 3 children, and you're doing, you know, you're working as a busboy and she's working, you know, in some other, you know, under the table job. Just the cost of educating your 2 to 3 children, let's say if you have 3 children, that's at least $15,000. Per child. That's $45,000 in taxpayer dollars that it costs citizens of California just to educate your kids. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, if you end up in the emergency room, if you get sick, or, you know, if you're on in food assistance because, you know, if your children were born in the U.S., then they're entitled because they're citizens. I mean, the costs are enormous, and the paybacks are, and the costs are enormous, and they're bore almost two-thirds by state and local taxpayers.
Yeah, I just, the more this goes on, the less I understand the mindset of what we're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do. And this balance of interest of illegals versus citizens, that's not what I want from my government.
No, not at all. No, I mean, so whose side are they on, actually, is the question I find myself asking.
Kind of the threshold question to me, too. I mean, that's not what I've sent people to Washington, D.C. to represent those interests. I want them to represent citizen interests. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your insight. Have a great weekend,
Bill,
David.
You have a great weekend, my friend.
All right, we'll see you later. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break. We're back in... The president declares a national emergency. Want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. Do you believe that there's an emergency at the southern border? And, you know, it looks as though the president may be able to avail himself of some additional funds. Out of the Treasury Department, about $600 million. Out of the Department of Defense, about $2.5 billion. And out of the military construction budget, about $3.5 billion. Which would all total would be about $8 billion with some of his executive actions. Some will be more controversial than others because the wording in the appropriations for those different buckets that I just outlined. Let's go to line 2, Bobby in Raceland. What say you, Bobby?
Hey, bud. How you doing today?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Doing fine. I got a question for you, Sheriff. When you were sheriff, you abided by the law. Am I right?
Correct.
We have a congressional group, and I'm talking about everyone, Democrats, Republicans, are supposed to be about the law. I think the day that we lost Mr. Gowdy, and I think the other senator was from Utah, was so tired. We have become a lawless land. When people and states can break federal law and get away with it.
Yeah,
Nikita Khrushchev said it the best, Newell. he said it the best in my day. I'm 71, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That we will implode within.
Yeah, no doubt.
Socialism and communism will take over because of us. We, the people.
Yeah,
that's what we ordered.
I just don't understand why we are, like in the case of the L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva, I understand that he got 80% of the Latino vote, so it's all about politics. But he is going to ban federal law enforcement authorities from cooperating with them, even going into their building and otherwise. But by the same token, they stand ready and able to take Homeland Security money from the federal government and all other types of money from the federal government. And they're willing to participate with the federal government on other issues, but not these issues. And then they get mad when the federal government says, well, maybe we shouldn't be sending you this money because this is all under Homeland Security. And if you're not going to cooperate with us with all this stuff, why should we be providing sustenance for you? And there's outrage on their part. Let me finish my point.
I'm sorry, brother.
It's not like this is something new. Bobby, you remember when they increased the speed limit
you and I had that conversation.
On the interstate system. And one of the caveats was that you had to be 21 to drink. And if you didn't pass that law, they were holding all transportation funding.
And
what happened? Everybody changed the law, 21, in order to drink.
Exactly.
You know, and everybody said that they were well within their rights to do that because they were providing the funding and everything for the interstate system and the whole nine yards. It's no different here. But all of a sudden, we have carved out on so many different fronts a different status when we're dealing with this issue. And
what I
it's
don't
purely
understand
political.
Is federal law. They keep going on and on. The whole Congress. I've been listening to a lot of it. New. They talk about federal law.
No,
I haven't seen one person prosecuted, Neil. What's going on with the whole country.
And that's why in my view, that makes this part of a national emergency as well as a complete breakdown of federalism in this country. Because now we have state actors standing federal actors in the face and just telling them, I don't care what the federal law says, we're not doing
exactly.
it. And we're going to declare ourselves immune from the immigration thing that you've carved out to yourself, federal government. We're declaring ourselves immune from any of those rules, laws, any of those obligations at all, one bit whatsoever. But don't try and stop sending the federal flow of money to us.
I got a question for you, Newell. Who's the biggest state that's broke completely? It's the state of California. They're the ones that's breaking federal law. But yet, we're still, us taxpayers, you and I, are still giving federal dollars.
Well, Bobby, let me tell you where this really hits home. On President Trump's tax plan on state and local tax exemption, the SALT exemptions. Those states that pay huge taxes that they no longer can write off in excess of $10,000 off their federal income taxes. They were given favorable treatment all of these years while they're financing all of these programs that you and I and all the other citizens in this country are financing for them. Where they have school districts that have 40% of the students are illegal aliens. Because they've decided to be a sanctuary state, they want everybody else in the country to finance it. And had that bill not passed, all of these new taxes that they're talking about imposing in California, we're going to be able to get a return off their federal income taxes that are paid for that. And so there was a disproportionate treatment to us in the state of Louisiana. We need to wake up.
Oh, yes.
And that's why I read what's going on with this L.A. County sheriff. Because that very much influences and very much is going to increase the cost of local government and everything else, because exactly. These folks ordinarily would have been deported and would have been off the payroll, so to speak, here, and where all the other taxpayers across the country aren't going to have to foot that bill for that individual. Got to get to a break. Hey, Bobby, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back. Let's go to the talk lines. James and Metairie. What say you, James?
Well, hi, Neil. Thank you very much, and happy. Hope you have a happy weekend.
Yes.
You know, previous caller, people like that call up and complain about us sending money to California. Let me point out something. A Rockefeller Institute of Government study back in January shows that Louisiana receives $1.52 in federal spending for every tax dollar that we send to Washington, D.C. In other words, we are a taker state. And you better get down on your knees and thank those liberal states that a lot of conservatives disdain here. There's about eight of them that they receive less money back from the federal government than they send. For example, New Jersey sends a dollar, they get 82 cents back from the federal government. Massachusetts, 83 cents, on and on, eight of them. So we are a taker state, and they'll say, well, that's because we got screwed with oil and gas. How did that happen? Because you elected a bunch of dumb bleeps to public office here in the state of Louisiana that didn't defend the state properly. That's what happened. So now you are a taker state, Mr. and Mrs. Louisiana.
Well, that's very true, is that, you know, the oil and gas situation here, it would be completely flipped had we got what we were supposed to get, and you can blame both Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah. Well, we didn't do it. They elected the wrong kind of people.
You know, and the fact of the matter is, when we moved from the centrist to the extremes on both the left and the right is when we lost all of our power in this state. And had we stayed in the center, we would have been able to accomplish some of what we needed to do in order to get the oil and gas revenues that we deserve.
One more thing, if I could. California gets back a dollar for every dollar that they send to the federal government. So they're not a taker state. They break even.
Well, I looked at the situation.
According to the study.
Yeah, and that study has some flaws, I don't know that it would move the needle totally, you know, to the other side either, in all fairness, okay? But it's a question of the population there, right?
Well, it's the quality of the population. You know, here in Louisiana, this is a poor state. Most of that money, the imbalance of payments I spoke about, the $1.52, is because of Medicare and Social Security that the residents of this state receive from Washington, D.C. That's the main driver of, you know, why that imbalance of payments. Because we're poor. We're a poor state.
But, James, where are you on this on this immigration issue? I mean, we are making it even easier for folks to stay in this country illegally with this compromise bill. We're not moving in a positive direction from my perspective, by any stretch of the imagination. It continues to just be a political football, and it's just bouncing it all over the place.
Well, one of my comments is this. I think Donald Trump lies every time, and I'm not a Democrat. I am a registered Republican, but I'm one of those rhinos that they despise. But anyway, Donald Trump lies when he says Nancy Pelosi and Schumer are for open borders and they don't care about crime. That's just another one of his thousands of lies. Now, where do I stand on this bill?
Yeah, but you don't believe the wall's immoral, do you?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, so she lies, too.
Well, that's her opinion, but she didn't, you know, that's an opinion. But Trump says that they want open borders. Come on, they don't want open borders.
I don't believe that they do want open borders. I think
he says it all the time.
I think they want, well, I guess it's a question of semantics. They want the borders more open than they are right now, and this compromise bill is evidence of this with the unaccompanied children and the sponsor. You know, so you're going to give special status to someone here who's illegal, who brings over a relative, and then everybody that lives in that household can't be touched by ICE relative to deportation.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody knows this. So you get down a little bit at all. Home Depot, Lowe's. These guys are standing out there on their private property. There's a sign that says loitering, I believe it is. It's prohibited. These people are out there.
No, there's
every day
no, there's no sign. The loitering statute's been rendered unconstitutional.
Okay.
The reason they stay out there is that Lowe's will not file a complaint against those individuals.
Okay.
And, you know, I know about personally. they will not file the complaint. In fact, they think it helps their business by having them out there. So,
wow.
And not all of them are illegal that are out there, in mm-hmm. all fairness to those guys that are out there. But they don't want to make a complaint, and the loitering statute is unconstitutional.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you telling me.
You know, but but the point is that there's no doubt, you know, that there's a need for a workforce here. The problem is that we've got to do it in an ordered and structured way, and that we shouldn't just be granting folks status because they broke the law in order to get into the country. And when you talk about these issues, everybody think you're anti-immigration. I'm not anti-immigration. Just follow the rules.
I know. I think you said one of your parents or grandparents.
Well, my mother is from Nicaragua, Central America.
Right.
I mean, it's not a just follow the. I got to follow the rules to get a driver's license, to do this, to do that. Everything I do in my life, there's rules that we have to follow to do it.
Gotcha.
No one have you been rewarded for breaking the rules?
Not lately. No.
No. No. But yet we are setting up a special status for people that are breaking rules. Every day. I just don't understand that mindset.
Yeah, got a good point. Thanks, Newell.
All righty. Thank you so much for calling. Got to get to a break. Stay with us. We're back, and the real Bob Mitchell joins me in the studio. Scoot's out today. Bob sitting in for Scoot.
Jumped off the couch and came to work.
There you go, man.
We, of course, are going to be talking about the president today. The president finally followed through with his threats that he was going to call it a national emergency so we could have the money to build the wall. I want to know whether you agree with him or not. And I would actually like to hear from a few people who are against this. Tell me why. I cannot imagine anyone not wanting to protect our country. I live in a gated community. Do you not put a fence around your yard to keep people from coming inside?
You're immoral. You help finance that gate? I mean, that fence?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I will say this about the press conference today. I thought he was on too long.
Yes.
I thought he rambled.
Rambled, absolutely.
I thought he presented a very disjointed message. He's not a good public speaker.
He was ad-libbing.
And, you know, in the moment that he went off script, like every other time, you know, other than when he's in a campaign speech, he's in trouble land.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was in trouble land today. And I think he gives everybody fodder, you know, that he need not do. I don't understand it. But we'll see you again on Monday. Bob's up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.